Are you all feeling good out there?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hello, handsome.
You're feeling good. Just say it.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'm ready to fire everyone.
Stephen A. said Kawhi's the biggest fake superstar. No, right now, Tatum is the biggest fake superstar.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NBA insider Brian Windhorst, co-creator, writer, and star of Ted Lasso, Jason Sudeikis. Coming up, Rams general manager Les Snead, Seahawks general manager John Schneider. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. In case you just missed hour number two, boy, what a great chat we just had in studio with Jason Sudeikis. Ted Lasso himself was here, and it sure sounds like it's possible that the next three episodes are not the final episodes of Ted Lasso.
Yeah, we can only hope.
Got to see how it ends, like Jason said.
No, I know that they're going to end it in a certain way, yep. And where there'll be a finality to it. It's what it sounds like, but he also sounds like, hey.
Never know.
Don't count it out.
You know what question I would have liked to ask him that just hit me? You think the mustache is real?
I do.
Oh, yeah.
It might mean because it could be.
They might
be a fake stash, though. Like,
For the next time. And he has signed our Believe.
He did.
Yeah.
By the way.
Well, I'll tweet that out right now.
You know, we got it's our Believe signed by Ted Lasso, Brandon Hunt,
and Sean Payton,
who's Coach Beard and Sean Payton.
Yeah.
That's got to be the only Believe signed by all three of them on planet Earth.
Guaranteed. That's a one.
I guarantee someone could have two of the three, but they don't have all.
In the same way that there's only one person on planet Earth who got their big break writing a sketch and playing in that sketch with Tom Brady while playing the role of Kevin Butler in that sketch. That's Jason Sudeikis.
And right? I went to the Super Bowl shuffle video. Kevin Butler is wearing
a fedora.
A white fedora and aviators.
You okay. know, one of my favorite skits. Remember What's Up With That? With Kenan Thompson, he played like a...
Oh, yeah. And he's dancing around in it.
Pop out in a jumpsuit with a gold chain and just a little mini Afro wig and just do the dance. And I just laugh every time. What's Up With That?
I know.
What's Up With That?
That is funny.
But he would just funny pop show. Out of nowhere.
Funny show. Funny show. Two Broke Girls. Funny show. Les Snead's about to join us. It was a great two-segment chat with Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I did ask him the question in the commercial break that Susie wanted me to ask.
Who's Susie?
My wife.
My spouse, my better half.
Your wife.
Careful, she's on next Wednesday.
Hey. Well, we know. Okay. We get excited.
Anyway, and I appreciate you saying that. She wanted to know, that is a real Mumford and Sons song. That's the Ted Lasso open.
Yeah.
And that was written specifically for Ted Lasso because Shock the World Sudeikis knows them. And there's a full 4-minute version of it. They only play just one snippet.
Yeah.
And he said it was similar like the Cheers song where you're not used to hearing a full 4-minute song on a theme for
TV.
Wait,
there's a second verse?
I know. The Friends song, the Friends theme is like that too. You ever hear the full Friends song?
The Friends song will pop up on the 90s on 9 Sirius channel, and you're like, wait, there, what? It's what is this?
I know it's a real song.
Yeah.
You know? It's good. Is there a full version of the Sesame Street theme song?
Of course there is.
Right?
Yeah.
Like the full on. Like, is there like a.
I don't remember that anymore.
Like, is there like a fourth stanza about Bert and Ernie? You know,
Bert and Ernie.
I don't know. You know what I mean?
It's like Superhero by Jane's Addiction for Entourage. You only hear like the 30 seconds, right, but that's a whole 4-minute song.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right? There's a full version of the WKRP in Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all those
theme song.
Back in our childhood, Rich.
One of the greatest TV show theme songs. Ever.
It just reminded me of when you asked Joe Burrow if
and he had
about
no
it.
Idea about it.
No clue.
WKRP. I mean, exactly. He's like, what?
He's like, I think that was before
my
time.
We did a Cincinnati true or false mm-hmm. with him yep. when he was at the Super Bowl in Miami prior to him being drafted. Uh-huh. We knew Cincinnati was first on the clock and was going to choose him, most likely. And
I remember
the last question we asked, to just show you how smart he is, two questions in, he goes, I have a feeling all these are true.
That's right.
You know, and then I finally got to the last one, that the number one station in Cincinnati is WKRP. You know, and he goes, true. And I'm like, oh. And he had no idea. He had no idea. He had never heard of Venus Flytrap or Dr. Johnny Fever. Probably never saw Lonnie Anderson.
I mean,
I did.
He would have been a fan, though, had he seen.
Shout out Lonnie Anderson.
You know, he would have been a fan.
Les Snead's calling in shortly. Is he calling in, or are we going to do this another day?
A few minutes.
Well, we got another guy after. I mean, okay.
His hair, Rich.
It's understood.
It's LA time.
Let me ask you a question. Has anything else been?
Rich, you want to know when the Super Bowl rematch is?
Yeah.
Is that out for real? Yeah. No, second. Stop. Is that out for real?
No. I saw it. I saw it leaked. Yeah.
What the hell? I mean, this is what's left. What else is left for me to talk about? The staple that's at the top of the actual paperwork?
Preseason.
Well, we don't know when the always riveting Texans-Jags Thursday night is.
Oh, yeah. Look at you crapping on the AFC South. Hey, listen, pal, you know, you've Texans got a glass Jags. House. You are throwing stones in a glass house right now.
Well, we're gonna be the 1-0 to start the season, Rich. You know what I'm saying?
What are you winking at me for? What are you winking at me for?
1-0 to start the season.
What? Like, you already know the results? The results have been leaked too?
Well, there's.
I didn't know. There's a script, right?
There's a script, and I don't want to.
By the way, did you know Roger Goodell joked about the script when he did the New Heights pod? Are you aware of that?
He joked about the script.
He did.
Maybe we can ask Les about the script. Does he have
Is he on the phone right now?
Yeah, he's here.
The general manager of the Los Angeles Rams, Les Snead, here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Les?
I'm good. How about y'all?
I'm good. I'm hearing that not only the entire schedule has been leaked, but so have the results of the 2023 season. Do you have the results of the season in front of you too, Les, right now?
You know what? No one's told me our record yet, but
okay.
You know what? That's where we're at. Fast forward, I can tell you how. You know, the ebbs and flows. Like, wow.
Okay. I
can't believe we finished that.
Congrats.
Congratulations, Les. Yeah. I don't know if you're aware, but congrats are in order.
That GPT is now doing our season.
Wow.
So you have your schedule, right? You've seen it? I'm not going to ask you the details, but you have seen it, right? You've seen your schedule?
It's interesting. I was just chatting with Sam Farmer. He's doing a behind-the-scenes on schedule.
And
it's funny. You know Kara, my wife.
I do.
I will get in trouble because technically, yes, Kevin has texted the schedule
of course.
To myself, Sean, and a few That's other good. People that really need it.
Okay.
I've not even mentioned it to Kara, and I really don't necessarily know who we play or when we play people. Now, in the text chain, I've now come to gather that, you know, we play these two teams first and second mm-hmm. and things like that. But I'm not as passionate about, we now play this particular team on this particular date, at least at this phase.
But you must be looking for what? Bye weeks, multiple weeks in a row that you might be on the road, short weeks, things like that? Is that what you're checking out?
That's what ends up coming down the pipe, and you begin again at that point. You begin talking to athletic performance on if you have short weeks, how do you schedule that week, and how do you travel per se. So there's a lot of nuanced details. One of the hardest things a team or club has to accomplish is when you do get a date and you're traveling, is now seeing in a particular city there could be a couple of major conferences going on, and now let's call it your top two hotels are booked, and now you may have to settle for hotel 3 or 4, which is obviously not it. So it's like going on vacation, and you now are, you know, at you're just not at your favorite hotel,
mm-hmm.
and you've got to suffer through that per se. So
understood. That's why you see these details are why you're called a general manager, not a specific manager. You know what I mean? Like, you are generally managing things, Les, and that's why you're one of the best in the business. We just got a little bit of a glimpse right here. I've got the GM of the Los Angeles Rams, Les Snead, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's just jump in the few minutes I have with you, Les. How's your quarterback? What's going on with Stafford? Ready to roll?
Stafford, he is ready to roll. For where are we at May, he is, again, I think the rose of the thorn of last year,
yep.
He was able to, let's call it, rest and relax. And he is probably feeling as good as he's felt in a long time. both, and I would say probably mentally and physically. You know, anytime you get a break, you get bored, you look forward to coming back and not being as bored. And the neat thing is, because football does require some element of physical skill, that arm and that elbow is feeling really good, and he's throwing the ball very close to like he threw it his pro day. One of the better pro days I'd ever witnessed.
Is that right?
It's definitely that. It was one of the – I mean, he's going to go probably top five. And that's, hey, accuracy and velocity. Only so many people can probably throw a ball that accurate and, I guess, that fast. Would that be
– Sure. Sure. So the other roses of the on the thorns. By the way, I liked that analogy very much. Kupp and Donald. I guess that's the question a lot of people are having with Aaron Donald is how much, you know, is the clock ticking with him, because he was interested maybe in stepping away. I don't know if that was a contractual posture or what have you, but do you feel like you're you know, time's ticking with him, and how much time you have left with him, and how much he wants to play?
I can honestly say, Rich, with him, even so, last year when you're watching, let's call it the 8 to 9 games he played.
Yes,
there was no moment where you looked at Aaron Donald and go, "Wow, he is slowing down." He was still defeating one-on-one blocks with ease. He doesn't get those often, and he was still disrupting double teams. So I really think with Aaron, it's he's physically gifted enough, works hard enough that he's going to be one of those players that can be disruptive, can be effective. As he does age in terms of years on the planet, so there's no, let's call it, noticeable difference in how he plays. Only unfortunate thing for Aaron probably is his first time he's ever had to deal with an injury where he missed, you know, let's call it a significant amount of time. And Aaron will say that, wait a minute, I might not be able to train as hard in the off season, because as you do get older, it does take a little bit more time to recover. So I think Aaron's one of those guys that's going to always go, you know what, I want to be a 12 on a scale of 10. And sports science may say, you know what, today you might ought to train at a 6 level. And that's going to help you be that 12 when you need to be a 12 on a scale of a 10.
Sure.
But that's what you want in humans. Yeah. Otherwise, he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Les Snead, L.A. Rams GM here. A few more minutes left with him on the Rich Eisen Show. What's your expectation level for Stetson Bennett? What do you got for me on that, Les?
You know, I can. We really appreciated what he did at Georgia. You know, a lot of things in that. In some of the ways he played QB, some of the – I mean, he played – he was able to prove that he could find lanes and windows as a shorter QB. He's not the first to do that. We're seeing shorter QBs come into the game. One thing he does have is he has the mobility inside the pocket and actually is fast and athletic enough to be dangerous running the football when he needs to be and selected. Our expectations is this: come in – look, you don't have to win your third national championship in a row. Here, let's begin becoming the best professional football player you can be and help him evolve to be, you know, initially a contributor as a backup QB. And so that's our vision right now.
You think
– one day at a time with these –
Sure,
rookies.
Of course.
QB from college to NFL is going to be a tough transition no matter who you are.
But you think can he be Stafford's backup this year? Is that a possible concept?
You know, I would say on paper that is our vision. That was one of our what we did say coming in. Anytime you go into the draft, you never know with a QB. There's only so many of them. But we did think that it could be very beneficial if we could find a young quarterback to develop as a backup. You know, that way you don't get into let's call it renting QBs for a year. And also with our cap situation, veteran backups do cost more, right, in salary and against the cap than players on their rookie contract. So there's a lot of variables in that. But the vision was, hey, let's try to find the best backup QB available. And if we can do that in the draft, that's even more of a benefit to us. If not, we would have pivoted into a different direction.
Well, you also know he's comfortable in your building. That's for sure. My gosh. I think he still. I think he just scored another touchdown in SoFi from last January. You know that. At least he's comfortable there. So, what would you say? And now, you know, a couple more minutes with Lesney, general manager of the Rams. What would you say to the notion that you guys are rebuilding, that you might be staring down another rebuild with Donald leaving because he doesn't want to play anymore, and Stafford. You know, we'll see how much he has left in the tank based on what happened last year. That is a general narrative that is mentioned about your team, Les. I'm sure you've heard it, and I'll love to give you the floor on that notion about the team that won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. What do you got for me there?
Maybe we need to bring in a polling service to somewhat label what we're trying to do. And the one reason I shied away from rebuilding was when you do have a quarterback in Matthew Stafford who's basically a year removed away from helping us win a Super Bowl and in the playoffs actually being a major factor in probably three comeback wins, counting Tampa once they made their somewhat miraculous comeback through San Francisco and into the Super Bowl. Cooper Kupp was the offensive MVP that year, obviously Aaron Donald. So it's tough to rebuild when you have some of the better players at their positions still on the team. So what I said we needed to do and we thought was best for the team was, right, we did take a step back in terms of how we acquired players and things like that. And we said, okay, maybe this year it's best to utilize our draft picks on younger players so we can grow and evolve. We can utilize this year to engineer a healthier cap situation so that when we do feel an opportunity or – there's definitely an opportunity to strike, to attack, to be aggressive. We're definitely capable and have the ability to do that. So that's where we're at. I think we're back to – the neat thing is where we're at post, let's call it, winning a Super Bowl post, hey, are you going to repeat or not? It's back to fundamental football. And you know what? We're going to get a schedule. Obviously, we already have the schedule. It's going to be announced tonight. Mm-hmm. We're going to have an opening game. Let's prepare for that opening game. Let's – try to do our best on that day. Let's look up the scoreboard and see in the quote of Wade Phillips, do we have one more point than the other team? And then at that point in time, you go to the next game and you do the same thing, and it's kind of boring, let's call it sport coach speak, but it's definitely worked for us, you know, over the last 5 or 6 years.
Les, you're the man. Say hi to Kara for me. Tell her I would have already texted her the schedule, but I signed a waiver. The NFL made me sign a waiver, just received the schedule, and I like my gig. Almost as much as I like being friends with you and Kara, but I can't violate.
I can't tell you, Richard, it is fascinating how many people in the world actually will text you and ask you to give them a nugget. You're like, really, of all the asks you get, like, you're really going to ask for a schedule? I mean, don't you think that's a little bit? Like, I don't think I might have texted that I would have never hit send.
Yeah, I was about to say, I mean, what's a quicker no from you in the last?
That's just a deleted text.
I was about to say.
That deserves a response.
Quicker no from you over the last several months. Will you give me a nugget on the schedule, or do you want to trade Matthew Stafford? What's the quicker no that you've gotten in the last 4 months?
You know what? They're both pretty fast. No.
Les, you the man. Thanks for the call.
Definitely. Enjoy. Always enjoy being on it.
Yeah, right back at you. Thanks for having fun with us as always. That's Les Snead, the general manager of the Los Angeles Rams. Do not call it a rebuild. And by the way, do not sell your tickets for the opener because I've seen the opener. No, I don't know.
Oh. And do not ask Les for any nuggets.
You got me and Brockman. We're like,
what do you care? Because if it is an actual great opener, you're not going. That means it's more money for you.
I'm actually going this year.
Oh, really?
I'm taking off.
Oh.
I am taking off days.
You don't even know the schedule yet.
It doesn't matter. I'm going to some games. I have people to take.
Let's take a break so we're remotely on time for John Schneider. How great. Will he like it? Sorry I was late. I was talking to your competition. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1-quart moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold. Let's talk about sleep, people. No matter who you are, you want to reach your full potential. And every person and every night are different. When you sleep on a Sleep Number smart bed, though, you are finally harnessing your unique potential every night, no matter what each night brings. Next level people like you need next level sleep. My Sleep Number setting is 60, and my wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but that is the world of difference because we can choose our ideal comfort and support on our side of the bed and change it whenever we like, and it helps us sleep so comfortably. You can see how well you slept, too, the next day, along with personalized insights for even better sleep with your Sleep IQ score. Sleep next level. Unlock your unique potential with a smart bed that can perform as well as you. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com. See store for details. John Schneider here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience just returned. So, John, walk me through your draft night, the most unpredictable draft I can recall. I've done about 20 of these, close to it. And you've done more. It's so tough to predict. You're sitting there at 5 with somebody else's draft choice. And I know I talked to you and I talked to, you know, Pete Carroll beforehand. And so you're kicking tires on everybody, but you have absolutely no idea what's happening with the quarterback market in front of you. Walk me through your night, what that was like for you.
It's interesting because I agree with you. It was a very odd draft, especially at the top. Even in previous years, we'd be able to say, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe. I don't know, 7. Yeah. But, you know, we got into this thing. You know, we're really close with Scott Bitter and Dan Morgan and all those guys in Carolina. And, you know, as many beers as I try to buy those guys, they would not let me know what was going on. So we didn't know literally until, you know, I think everybody kind of found out at the same time, like, okay, one is definitely going to be Bryce. And then after that, it was still wide open until the clock really started. And so we were, you know, we had a ton of contingency plans ready. You know, we personally believed that, you know, we had, you know, Devin as one of the top two defensive players in the draft, and we're, you know, really excited that he was still there and we were able to pick. We had set it up where, you know, if he was not there or another player was there, we were going to try to go back. But, other than that, we were just really excited to get Devin and you know, get rolling with it. But yeah, great point. It was really interesting, you know, every pick in there. And you know, is Stroud gonna go too? Where's Will gonna go? And
right,
you know, all those guys. It was really interesting. Devin was very quiet. I think everybody, you know, that's what made me nervous. People weren't talking about him a ton until I guess people in your industry, Rich, weren't talking about him a ton until maybe the week before or something like that as being a top 5 pick. So that made us pretty nervous. But, yeah, other than that, we're really excited that he was still there and we were able to pick.
Well, I mean, most of those in this industry were pegging Devin Witherspoon for the Lions right after you. And interestingly enough, Lions trade out as soon as you take the kid at 5. What did you see in him? Like, why him over every defensive player minus Will Anderson at your disposal at that point in time, John?
You know, it actually was a really pretty easy study because he's a guy that has when you watch the film, is a really, really natural, instinctive football player that can sit in zone and has a really good feel for route concepts and the crossers and then ball skills, obviously, but then really the physicality, you know, just jumps off the charts. You know, I know Pete compared him to, we were kind of arguing throughout the spring. Pete was comparing him to Troy Polamalu. I was comparing him to Dale Carter. A lot of people kind of struggled with Dale Carter. They didn't really necessarily know who he was. Mm. I was with him in Kansas City, and just such a physical corner. And, you know, that really stood out. Obviously, everybody's seen the play against Indiana, maybe at nauseam now. But, you know, that kind of play was consistent in every game he put on.
And so you went obviously in that direction. If you don't mind, Jalen Carter was sitting right out there as well. And I know you like Witherspoon, you love him, and that's why you took him. Was he in consideration to you? What can you add to see if?
Yeah, we had a great visit with Jalen. We brought him in here. He was in consideration. You know, we just felt that Devin was a better fit for us, and Devin had a great visit with us as well. And so we were just, you know, the physicality part is what really stood out about Devin. Obviously, Jalen has a ton of natural talent. It was just, hey, you know, like this, like there's a couple guys that were like really are. We call them like true. They have to be a blue player on our board, and that means that, and a green player, which means that, you know, you have the grit and you're a green guy, meaning that you are a Seahawk. And he had all those things, and so we went for it. He had both of those.
And Jackson Smith and Jigba was your second first round choice, and you sparked a run of wide receivers. He was the first one taken, and then three more after that. Why him over everyone that you had?
Yeah, really plug and play. It was an interesting group there, and to your point, they went bang, bang, bang. Yep. And so, you know, we were blessed that he was there when we picked. But, you know, like plug and play guy, he's only there because of, you know, the hamstring issue he had throughout the season last year. You know, I think if we talked at this time after the draft, you would have said, you know, Jalen Carter, Will Anderson, Bryce Young, Stroud, Jackson, those guys would have been in the top, what, five guys for that would be mocked in this year's draft or whatever. Mm-hmm. And at this time last year. But, yeah, really just plug and play and you know, really was gritted it out at his pro day. Wasn't going to run a 40, decided to run a 40. Went through the routes with CJ, you know, great hands. Obviously, we know about the competitor. You know, you can watch that Rose Bowl game.
Oh, yeah.
Time after time, it's one of the more impressive things I've ever seen.
Yeah, he had a record day in Pasadena, no doubt about that. So plug and play, we're going to see him week one, whenever we find out where you're going to be later on tonight, is what you're saying. That's your plan. Obviously, for this kid.
Yeah, definitely. You know, he's a guy that fits great with Tyler and DK and you know, the group of guys. It's a really, really cool group we have right now. So we're excited about that.
Well, and then you choose Zach Charbonnet in the second round, and he is a terrific player, dynamite player. UCLA is where you drafted him out of. So how does that fit in with Walker, who had such a terrific season? And I ask that question. A lot of folks are wondering that. They may not know about the always compete signs that are all over your building. But yeah. I understand the sense of competition, but how does it work, do you think, here?
True compliment. Really, you know, all these runners have different skill sets. And so Zach, we thought was a great compliment to Ken. You know, that position is, you know, in terms of staying healthy and durability and everything that goes into it, you know, it's a hard position throughout the season. You really need two, three, four guys, you know, sometimes it'd be five. You know, 2 years ago we lost, you know, three runners in a week and, you know, had Marshawn Lynch back at the end of the season. So things can happen pretty quickly at that position. And, you know, I guess first and foremost, the fact that he ended up leaving Michigan was, mm-hmm. you know, stood out to us.
I didn't think you'd go there. I understand you. I know that's tongue in cheek because I know you value Michigan guys because you chose two more later on. You know what I mean?
I know. We were thinking like, should we go back to back Buckeyes? We went back to back Wolverines. So we're like, let's just do that.
Uh-huh. I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah.
But
as
you were saying, John.
Moving on. Perfect compliment.
Oh my gosh. Yes, he was at Michigan, but you chose two other Wolverines, sir. I noticed that. I love Morris and Oluwatimi are really, really good players. And they're maulers, man. I know that you like those guys. I know you like the maulers on that line.
John. Yeah, Mike, you know, Mike dropped, he dropped down like 270, 271 to try to run faster at the combine and his pro day and everything. And, you know, just, you know, had a great visit, you know, with his agent and realized, hey, you know, look, I'm, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a 290 pound defensive lineman. And that's what, you know, we had, texted with him that morning and he was 292 that morning. That was Saturday. And, yeah, so we were excited and he's going to be a, you know, be a defensive end for us. Mm-hmm. And obviously you knew him well, real active hands, up and down the line of scrimmage, high motor, tough dude. And, yeah, really excited about him. And then Olu, you know, coming in there, especially, you know, all the talent they had on that team, the expectations they had in Ann Arbor, you know, coming over from Virginia, being named captain in the spring, and then, you know, being involved in different systems. He's just a real smart guy. You can't move him, moves well. Yeah, we're really excited. And I know, you know, you hear that all the time, right? Like, mm-hmm. It's kind of like when we talk to doctors after, you know, after all these guys have surgery, like, you know, I never heard a doc say, hey, you know, yeah, I don't know, it was an okay surgery. Yeah. I mean everybody feels
yeah, it was success-ish. Yeah, ish. Yeah, he was. We're positive-ish. Yeah, I get it. I know what you're saying on that.
Yeah, no, we're really excited. He was still there, and I know you're gonna hear that as you ask me about all these guys, but
right,
it's true, you know. And I think everybody at this time of year really is with all their guys. So
sure,
you know, the evaluation process, bringing them in, and then once they're here, kind of resetting with them too, and evaluating the game to know them even better as a person, and then. You know, how can our staff, coaches, support staff, everybody help these guys advance their careers? And, you know, everybody in this building takes a ton of pride with that.
So now, I don't know if you'll answer this question. How about that for a wind-up before I ask the question, John Schneider? But you choose two Michigan guys, and normally you like to talk to the coach of the school before you take the kids. Do you handle those conversations with Jim Harbaugh instead of Pete? Or does Pete actually have a conversation with Jim and ask him what his deal is? Anything like that?
With that, you know, not head coach, with these two guys, we had great visits with them. We spent a lot of time with them in the spring. And so we had really, you know, Jason Barnes does a great job with us, our assistant director of college scouting.
Right.
And has great relationships there. You know, we had drafted Frank out of there a number of years ago and Clark, and we used to have really good contacts there. So, you know, Pete, myself, I don't think Pete spoke with Jim, and neither did I. You know, we used to have great relationships there, and he runs a great program. So, they're very accommodating to the scouts and having access. But with those two guys in particular, you know, Olu going down to the Senior Bowl, and, you know, Steve Hutchinson works with us as well. And works with the offensive linemen a lot. And
that's so right.
Obviously, Steve had a great feel for him too. So we had a lot of really cool exposure for those two players in particular.
All right. So you took the high road with that one. I took the low road. I appreciate you doing the right thing, John. I'm sorry. I just know Jim and Pete had that set to like literally a lifetime ago. I just didn't know if anything lingered, but
yeah, let it go.
Okay. But I'd like to wrap up this conversation with two guys coming back. Let's talk about the Prez. What's with Jamal Adams? How's he doing? You expecting? What do you got for me there?
Yeah, he's doing well. You know, company answer is that, you know, we don't know exactly, you know, timeline.
Sure.
He's got to keep progressing here. We're going to take it, you know, very, very bad injury, very unfortunate for Jamal.
Yeah.
For our team last year, really, he was, you know, he was crushing it in the first half of that Denver game last year. You could see the intensity and you know, you could see the difference maker that he truly is early in that game. So we really missed him, and you know, throughout the season. But he's working his tail off. We want to be really careful with this. You know, it's been 2 years in a row where he's been banged up now. You know, we had traded for him, and he came in and, you know, set the sack record for DB with like 9 or 10 or something like that. And then you know, it's had 2 years now where he's been banged up, and we want to be really careful with his progression. So, you know, training camp, I'm just not sure. You know, we'll see where he is when he comes in for the OTAs.
And then, you know, kind of lost amongst the shuffle, Bobby Wagner, sir. I am just jacked up for you, right? That he is back in the fold. What was that conversation like? Was there you needed an air clearing and all that was required first? What can you share with me, John?
Yeah, you're on it. Absolutely. You know, in this business, you have to, like, every year you have to adjust after the season, and you have to make tough decisions, ugly decisions. If anybody tells you that they handle, you know, their business, you know, if people don't have any regrets about the way they handle their business, I mean, congratulations. But, yes, we had to have a meeting, and, you know, on both sides, he represents himself. And, you know, I know that I could have handled things much differently. And we had a great conversation about that. But then just our culture and clearing the air and, you know, being able to come to an agreement and, you know, have those private man-to-man conversations. And he was excited to come back. He's a legend, first ballot Hall of Famer. You know, when we played down there with the Rams, you could see the guys after the game were all basically standing in line to to hang out. And, you know, especially the young guys like Tariq and Ken, they couldn't wait to meet him. So having him back in the building is awesome, not just for the players, but, you know, for the Dave Pearsons and the Eric Kennedys and everybody in the building, you know, the cafeteria, and Stu in this cafeteria, everybody's just really excited to have him back in this building.
And I'm sure the city as well. Again, when we find out the schedule as a human race tonight, I can't wait to see the first home game, when that's going to be. And whoever is in charge of the seismic monitoring from back in the day of the Beastquake, when Bobby Wagner comes onto the field for the first time, that is going to be lit, as the kids say, in the stadium that day or not.
Wow. Don't you sound like a teenager?
I do. Look at me. Well, I mean, your coach is one, so you should understand what that sounds like. You know, it's true. I mean, that is going to be nuts. That will be the 12s will go.
It will be. When he came back this year, I mean, the crowd went nuts for him. It was awesome. He had a standing ovation, and the place was super loud. And yeah, it's awesome. It's really cool seeing him in the 54. 45. Yeah. I'm hoping he wore 9 there, but I get it. He couldn't wear 9 with the Rams, but
yes,
that's what he wore in college.
That's right. Yeah, that was occupied. That sure was. Hey, John, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. Let's do this more often. It was great.
Sounds good, buddy.
It's good to see you at the combine and things of that nature. Good to see you, sir.
That was fun. Get to hang out with Jeff next week, by the way.
Oh, is that right? What? Curb is coming back. If I'm not, when are you going to be on Curb, John? When does that happen? What's going on?
You're gonna have to ask Jeff. I don't know.
Come on, you've got the chops. Although, well, here's the thing: is that I think the Jets trump the Seahawks in that organization.
Unfortunately, yes.
Thanks for the call. You be well. We'll chat soon.
Okay, you too, Rich. Take care.
Yeah, that's John Schneider right here, general manager of the Seahawks. He was referring to Jeff Schaefer, who's the EP and director and writer of Curb. Yeah, Jets trump the Seahawks. Bobby Wagner, when he comes out, how wild is that night going to be?
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah.
Invite Marshawn back.
Because a good friend of mine, he's a Seahawks fan, and he was so sad when Wagner left.
I think everybody was.
Has it been leaked yet? The Seahawks are playing
that
first?
That one I haven't seen. Do you want to know when the Jets play the Cowboys?
Huh? I know when they're playing the Cowboys. I don't need to know the Jets' schedule. I know it.
I could
sit here and talk about it. Right? Well, the rest of the media is, right? I could sit here and talk about it.
For clicks.
But you know what I'm doing? The right thing.
Oh. To whom?
I could do it. Huh?
The right thing according to whom?
First of all, when I sign a document.
Why did you do that? As your lawyer, I would have not advised you to do that.
I wanted to see the schedule. You know why? Because I'm a lead pipe wielding professional. I will now go into tonight's 3-hour show with knowledge.
Don't you want to be surprised?
And an ability, and I've got lines. I got lines, or baby, I got lines.
Baby,
I got stick.
Lines.
I got stuff. I got stuff. I want to say I'm set. Okay.
Yeah, but you're also good at improv too.
I know that. I appreciate that. But as you know, it's the best questions you ask are the ones you already know the answer to.
Are they though?
don't know about that. Because I know I throw some stuff from left field at you, and you are just...
Yes. I try my best to fight off those pitches.
You serve and volley with me quite well. Is all I'm
saying. So, look...
Can't find it.
The right thing that I'm doing, forget that you think signing a document means nothing, Chris, which is great.
I just love he thinks he's your lawyer.
How about this? How about this? I have a group of hardworking men and women at NFL Media Group that are ready and working their tails off for a three-hour program tonight that we want to be a surprise. That's the intention.
Then why is the league...
The league's doing nothing.
Some of this stuff.
Well, the league always lets its partners have its say. The partners are the ones who are spending this just in. A lot of money.
A lot of
so
money.
If they want to go on, and by the way, the league also doesn't mind if the Today Show and Good Morning America are the types of platforms that announce this sort of stuff.
All I'm saying is you don't want it leaked, don't give it out.
Well, the reason why they also give it out is to have, is, you know, there's business purposes as well, you know. So that it's all out there. It's on websites. And as you pointed out, the social media groups of these 32 clubs are very talented. And they're going to put out these things that will get shared. And that helps get the schedule out. But you have to prep them. I already know these things, okay? See, now you're doing this just to bother me.
Oh, I'm trying to illustrate to you that you shouldn't be bothered.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
All this stuff is out. Why are you worrying about it?
Yeah. Too late.
All right.
I guess
I've known you long enough. I guess I should know.
What you do know.
Because they made me sign a document, Chris. And it's the people who made me sign a document in order to get the information I need to do a job for them. I hope they are going to be, like I said, hunting for these leakers like it's red freaking October. Like, go after them.
Let's get them all. Let's hit them all now while we got them.
That's right. I want NFL security to be like Frank Pantangeli.
Because we got the muscle.
Right. Going after the Rosado brothers who leaked the Jets Week 2 schedule.
What would you want?
Let's take a break. Let's take a break.
Let me tell you what's not happening.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
We're back in a minute.
The boys of summer are playing on the Believe podcast.
A product of baseball is much more watchable.
Get your baseball fix from podcasts like Wake and Rake, Farm to Show, and Ring the Bell.
He's not really hitting balls through the screws.
Plus, local podcasts like Believe in Astros and Believe in the Bronx.
You're going to have to get some more innings out of the rotation.
Just search BLEAV podcast wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. All right. Big night tonight. You watching? Because I don't have a Little League game to take your mind off. And you got to watch the Celtics and Sixers tonight. You got to. You have to. You have to.
We're winning tonight.
Let's go. Oh, he's back. He's back.
He's probably right.
Oh, my God. You guys are just absurd. Speak it into existence, TJ. Let's do it.
I've spoken enough stuff into existence, but this is beyond
my... Do we need to have your TJ music playing to get you fired up, to rise up? TJ. TJ. This is the moment. Tonight's the night where Doc Rivers is going to stare into the abyss of all those Clippers, all the Ben Simmons not passing up the bunny shots, all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All of those moments tonight come to an end tonight. Tonight is when the Sixers will rise up and the beard will show up. Maxey will make the shots. And the only thing that is meek in the building tonight is Mill.
Ah, yes, sir.
As Embiid, the MVP, will play like one.
Woo!
The brace will be off.
Hallelujah!
And they will dispatch the Celtics to the purgatory of the offseason.
Can I get an amen?
Amen!
That's it. Wendy called it. Embiid's going off tonight.
Yes! 50.
Sixers win. Let's go. It's my time.
Yes!
Like Christopher Walken
said. Speak it.
It's my time. Let's go.
Speak it!
Put it into existence. Sixers by 10. It's not even close.
When is game 7?
You want to know when the Pats play the Jets?
Yeah, sure.
I know when they play the Jets. I know exactly when I said I said Jets at Patriots is the one I want to know when it's scheduled, and I know when that's scheduled. So don't set me off just because I think your Celtics are getting eliminated tonight.
Okay? I'll take that.
I'll be on the set monitoring.
Hey.
The Celtics and the Sixers.
I'll be in front of my TV.
Very good.
TJ's watching. Brockman's watching.
I'll be in. Pacing.
You're
in the
both
backyard.
Watching.
Tomorrow's program.
And tomorrow.
On tomorrow's program, we will review the Amazon Prime Video schedule. In studio, Andrew Whitworth will be here.
Hey.
Big Whit.
Big Whit.
Big Whit, like what?
He will be here. Nice. Apparently, he's coming straight from LAX right here.
Oh, it's a short drive, man.
I understand. It depends. He might be flying a long time before coming here.
With the shuttle situation.
But the drive is short.
Joel McHale. We will review the Seahawks schedule with Joel McHale.
Hey.
Nice.
In studio.
Nice.
And just added to the program. Literally just confirmed it on my phone. During the commercial break to discuss the NFL on CBS schedule is the voice of CBS, Jim Nantz himself.
What?
This program. And then we will have a what's more likely version of the schedule. Oh, Ryan Poles of the Chicago Bears is on the show tomorrow.
Hey.
Look at that. I hope he's not booked for the time I had Nantz call in.
Uh-oh.
This is what happens when you got, that's the time.
Communicate.
No. By the way, was that Liz in the back? We'll see if we can move them.
Very rarely can you hear them in the back.
I'm sorry, Jim Nantz says I can do it. I had no idea where you're going. Anyway. Well, Ryan Poles, give me a Tom Telesco when we ask him to please move his time.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
There we go.
Hey, can we have Embiid calling tomorrow after he hits for 45?
Hey, listen. Tonight's the night for your Sixers and this great schedule release.
Do it for Dr. J. Do it for Moses Malone.
Fantastic.
Do it for Mo Cheeks and Andrew Toney and Mark Ivoroni and Bobby Jones.
There we go.
Let's go.
Bobby Jones, good one.
What is he saying?
Man, that was cold.
All Sixers.
You know what I'm saying.
Great show today. Thank you to Brian Windhorst of ESPN, Les Snead of the Rams, John Schneider of the Seahawks, and not one but two in-studio segments from Jason Sudeikis, Ted Lasso himself. I am now going to go up the 405.
Yes, sir.
And do a schedule release show on a schedule.
You loved Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now get to know her on Give Them Lala.
With her assistant, Jess.
What you did not see is when Raquel arrives and she wants to talk to me, I made her sit in a corner.
Explain.
Sat in a corner booth all by herself in the dark.
Waiting for to talk to you.
Waiting for me to finish dancing to 50 Cent.
It's my birthday. Sit in a corner.
Give Them Lala wherever you listen.